Our next speaker is a specialist in the animation industry. Please welcome Franck Rousseau.
Thank you. So hello, FOSDEM. My name is Franck Rousseau, and I'm going to introduce you to animation movie pipelines. So before going further into the presentations, I'm going to introduce myself a little bit. I do web applications since 25 years, and I do free software as a professional activity since 10 years. And I'm the founder, too, of a company named CGWire. We are a bootstrap company. We are a team of five, and we do a product that is aimed at providing project management services for animation studios. And this product is licensed under AGPL. So now let's talk about pipelines. So what you have to understand first is that when you do an animation movie, you have to follow a very industrial process, but all the people working on it are creative people. So their main focus is to make beautiful pictures, and they don't really care about the rest. So you have to deal with that two contradictory aspects. And the first thing is to describe roughly to describe the main steps of the needed to build a movie. So here I'm going to take a simple example, but that covers the main aspects of a movie. But of course there are subtleties for every movie. But the main idea is that in every animation productions, you have some elements named assets that will be displayed in the movie all along the movie. And you have the shots, which where every time the camera frame is changed, there is a new shot. So the movie is divided in many shots, and the asset will be used in the shots. So when you build an asset, for example, a character, you have several steps. The first one is the concept phase. It's a 2D step where you will draw the idea of how look the character. Then the next step consists in sculpting the character, making it in 3D. Then you have to paint it, so you have to apply textures and physical materials. So we name that step shading. And the other important step is the rigging. Basically, you add bones to your mesh. As your 3D model, and you make a puppet of it. Then once you have all your elements that are animable, you are going to build your shots. So first you need to have the animatic. The animatic is basically an animated storyboard, so it's a super rough version of the shot. Then you go to a 3D version of the shot, but that's still very rough, which is named the layout. It's more a director thing, so to check that everything is well positioned. And the third step is to animate. The goal of the third step is to animate the shot. So here you have the very precise animations. Here, your shot is almost done, but you have to render it, so you add some lights. And you bring all the elements you need to do the render in the same scene, and then you run the rendering. And once you have the rendering, you add some 2D effects on top of it, and it's a compositing step. And after this step, you have the final pictures. So now I talked about 3D animations, but animations can be done in 2D. It's a very popular style too. So here the steps are a little bit different. We still have the concept, but then we have the design part. Basically, we draw exactly the element we need in that step. We have the main elements that are used in 2D are the characters and the backgrounds, because every shot has a different background almost. And after that, we have some. We have another step where every character, we describe all the poses that a character will have, so it will be easier for the animations that will happen afterwards. And when we do the shots, we still have this animatic step, because if you remember what I said in the previous slide, it's already a 2D operation. Then we do a kind of rough layout. and then we do the animation. The animation happens only on the traits of the elements that are moving, because you know, when you see a 2D movie, you always have a beautiful background and simpler elements that are moving. So we animate the traits, then we color them, and then there is a compositing step which assembles everything, backgrounds, traits, and colors, and to make sure, and then it gives the final image. So now that gives you the main steps needed to build a movie. But now the question is how we build the movie. So of course we use software, and in the animation industry there is a strong culture of IP, secret, and proprietary software. So we come from very far on this aspect, and because there are really things that the image should not be stolen, it's better if no one sees the image before the images, before the movies is displayed. And so basically they are not really they are not really friendly with everything which is open source, but things tend to change because of several phenomena. The first one is that Python is replacing every proprietary script language. I didn't mention it on the slide, but FFmpeg is widely used to do some video operations. And the Academy Software Foundation is maintaining many projects around pivot file formats, so it makes it easier for studios to collaborate together. And of course, we have Blender, which is getting more and more adoptions, which is getting more and more popular, and which perform always better. So all this element combined push the industry to change its mindset on about collaborations and open software. Now there is another interesting actor, which is Krita. Krita currently is not widely used in the industry, but we still can feel the same phenomena as with Blender. There are tons of tutorials. The software works pretty well, and it keeps on improving. There is a good community, so we can guess that at some point we will have some interesting stuff that will come from it. Krita is mainly used for digital painting, so it's more interesting to handling everything related to backgrounds in 2D. Or to do texture for 3D. So if we go back to our building steps, we can match a software with every step. So for the concept, we can use Krita. For the modeling, Blender. As you will see, Blender is widely used to manage most of the steps. The shading is a combination of both, because Blender will manage the materials, can handle the texture drawing too, but Krita is a little bit better for that. For the rigging, Blender can be used. It's not some software for that, but they want to change everything for their upcoming releases. And if they are able to achieve what they want, it's going to be really awesome. For the shots, we will see just right after that it could be used for the animatic. For the layout, of course, animations, it performs very well, but there are still some steps where it's not yet the right software. For everything related to FX, there is still a software named Houdini that is widely used by the industry, and people won't change it for Blender right now. For the rendering step, they have a very nice rendering engine, but when I talk with people from the industry who does really, really complex images, they told me that it's not powerful enough for the moment, especially because they don't have what we name SceneAssembly features. Because SceneAssembly tool, the idea of a SceneAssembly tool is to bring everything that is needed to build a scene, add some lights, and have the capability to handle a lot of vertices and and animation keys. And for that, it's not there is no right software. There is no competing software for to do that with the proprietary software are much better. And we have the same issue with compositing, where there is Netrun, which is a very interesting software, but they have governance issues. So I don't know if it's still maintained, and the software currently is not as powerful as the proprietary ones. About 2D, there is something new. It is that that Blender recently introduced Green Pencil, so it allows to do 2D inside Blenders. It's really a huge change because prior to that, there was no software to do 2D animations in the open source world that are efficient. So now it's it allows to use Blender on the pipeline, on the whole pipeline of a 2D production, the same way as we use it on a 3D production. So there are still some limitations about every vectorized pictures. People still prefer Illustrator to Inkscape. I used Inkscape personally for some design stuff. It works pretty well, but it seems that Illustrator is still better. Krita is has many good things, but it's still too limited from what people told me to manage big images. But I'm not sure, but this is what some people from the industry told me. Like I told you, Natron is nice, but not as good as the competition. And there is no good software for FX and no efficiency in assembly tools. So now let's talk about the pipeline, because I talked a lot about the building steps, but there is another important part. It is the glue between all these steps. So first, let's see this very cute rabbit, because this presentation is way too serious, so I wanted to add this. it's not made with Midjourney or similar, it's real pictures. And I apologize for the author, I totally forgot to mention it, and I forgot the name, so really, I'm really sorry for that. But the rabbit is super cute. So now we can go back to the pipeline. So the first brick that is needed to build an efficient pipeline is a production tracker. The name is very misleading because it's not about tracking, it's about collaborating. People use it to dispatch tasks, to ship deliveries, and then to talk around it. There are many single page applications, and they have a strong API to allow every tool to connect to it. It's very important because there is tons of interesting data for every users in the studio, and it's important to be able to access all of them. So basically, what allows a production tracker, it's a very simplified version, but production managers dispatch tasks, artists do the work, directors review deliveries and send feedback to artists and they iterate together. And tools grab and post new data into it. The other main element is the asset manager. So the asset manager is basically what we. I just do it the other way. You can see an animation production as a big graph. Every elements are tied together. Especially because when, for instance, you do an animation, so we'll need several models to run the animations, but we will need specific versions of every models, and you have to represent that way or not. And every node can be considered as the element, the delivery, and the links, it depends on how you want to represent scenes, but the edges, can be the... either the operations or the links between the elements. And of course, everything is stored, every elements are stored on the file system. Object storage could be used, but in reality, I never seen any studio using object storage. So everything is saved on a shared file system. But still, it can be quickly messy, so an abstraction is needed to manage all these files. So here is an example of graph. I go fast because I thought that I had 25 minutes to do the presentation. I only have 20, so I'm going to go a little bit faster. We have here are some examples of enforce file paths and file names. And what you have to keep in mind is that it should be configurable because every studio has a different way to store stuff. So for Asset Manager, it's a real challenge to be able to manage everything. And the third part of the pipeline is made of the one of the main bricks of a pipeline is the render manager. So in an animation production, you have a ton of very long jobs to process. And for that, you need a render farm that will manage everything properly. And you have a tool to be able to follow each task. So, and you have a suite of small tools that are used to in the productions to have a more efficient work. So now let's, because the goal of this talk is to build an open source stack for our animation production. So for the production tracker, we use Kitsu. So this is the software we develop at CGWire. So it's a web application. We choose very common, very standard libraries and database to build it. We rely a lot on FFmpeg to normalize all the videos that are passed through Kitsu. Currently, we don't do crazy stuff with it. So the only cool stuff we do is that we push every FFmpeg jobs into an HashiCorp Nomad cluster. I hope that for the future FOSDEM editions, we will be able to talk more about how we manage everything and to show you that we do super cool stuff with it. Currently, we use it very simple way. And we choose a very standard stack to ensure that everyone can contribute and can deploy very easily the applications if they don't want to use our services. And it's licensed under AGPL. So this is how it looks. We have here the list of elements to build. And here we have the steps needed to build the elements. So I won't go further on this because it would require a full presentation. Then for the asset manager, there is a new tool that is emerging. Its name is Aeon. Formerly it was OpenPipe. It allows to do what I talked about before. It allows to manage all the files, but in an abstract way, so artists can just manage versions and don't think about how it is stored. It comes with many tools to push things to other tools, so it looks a little bit like that. It's a little bit more, it's a little bit less sexy, but it's efficient too. On the left, you have the file hierarchy. When you select building step, you have all the versioning of all the files, and then you have all the operation you can do on files, which makes it really save a lot of time to everyone in the studio. What you have to understand is that artists are really focused on making beautiful pictures, but they don't most of. If they are not senior, they don't think about if their production is usable by the next step. So this kind of tools really help them to do cleaner stuff that are reusable by their colleagues. There is another interesting software, which is LibreFlow or Cabaret. I like it especially because it's really a community thing. It was done by a technical director in a studio named Super Monks, and another studio named L'Effet Spécial used it, and together they built that software. It's fully open source, and it's community led. So two previous tools are company led, and this one is community led. So it's very cool to see that alternative emerging. For the render manager, we have Flamenco by the Blender Foundation, which is dedicated to small teams, and we have OpenQ, which is managed by the Academy Software Foundation, and which allows bigger studio to rely on a FOSS solutions. Here it's an example of a full open source pipeline. Almost full open source pipeline used by L'Effet Spécial on a long metrage, on a feature film named Sirène, which will be soon in theaters. And here, it's almost the conclusion, but here it is our animation free and open source stack. Now we have it. It's very new for the industry, though, so I'm super happy to be able to show it to you today. And so to conclude, now we have an almost working, we have an open source stack that covers almost all the use cases needed to build an animation movie. Of course, it's mainly led by the Blender Foundation, but there is no much alternative to Blender in the open source world, but it's great that it exists and the work they do is really amazing. The pipeline stack is covered by what I described. We tend, people don't see that aspect and we tend to forget it. And there are still some challenges in FX, vectorials, drawing, and scene assembly, and compositing, of course, yes, soon it will be fixed, I hope. So thank you for your attention, and if you have any questions, I will be glad to answer to them.
Any questions from the floor, yes?
Yeah. Do you think that Blender will, at some point with the node, geometry nodes, will get to the FX of the beginning? Do you think it will be able to compare?
Do you think that Blender at some point will be able to compete with Houdini? I don't know. I know they do efforts on that aspect. On a regular basis, they add some features about this. The community is very active, so at some point it could change. But I think their focus is not on it right now. But I cannot talk for them because I'm not not part of the Blender Foundation. But we talk a lot with them. But yeah. Is there any other question? Yeah.
You mentioned use Krita, right? You mentioned use Krita, but not GIMP.
I mentioned Krita. You mean? And I mentioned Krita, but not GIMP. So GIMP is not has not a good reputation in the animation industry. I don't understand why, because it's a very nice software, but I think that people doing very complex stuff can find what they want. But from my experience of GIMP is that they keep on improving it. They really improved the UI, so maybe at some point we will see more and more usage of GIMP. But I hope, because I really love this software too. Yeah. Do we have similar stuff for sound? I don't know. We are only focused on images.
Another question? No?
Okay.
Thank you, Franck.
Thank you. Bon, ça, j'espère.